This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you. Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hello everybody, welcome back to another episode of Don't Blame Me, featuring my sick voice, but more importantly, Grace Helbig is here.
Yeah! Woo-hoo. Back with a vengeance.
You haven't been on in so long.
I know, years, I think.
Literally, maybe.
A year and a half.
Yeah, wow. Your place looks great.
Thanks.
It got different.
I moved. It's so big.
This new New York loft that you're
so
recording
rich.
In looks awesome.
Yeah, it just exudes wealth. I just really wanted it to match my aesthetic. I exude wealth, so I needed the place that I live to also exude wealth.
When I think of you in this state right now, I think opulence.
Yeah, doing the most. Honestly, though, doing the most. Sneezing, coughing, dying.
Yeah, what do you have? Just a head cold situation?
I think so. I don't know. I got sick on they've heard this story so many times, but I got sick on Monday. I thought that what it was a popcorn kernel lodged in my throat at the Jonas Brothers concert.
Oh.
It was not. It was truly wow. A real sickness that it took me by surprise because I guess kind of cough and get it out. And
right.
Then finally, it was like 4 days later and I had a fever and I was like, maybe it wasn't a popcorn kernel.
Or that kernel was really diseased.
Yeah. I don't think that's what it was. So I'm assuming that's what it is. I'm going on an international trip next week, though. So
perfect.
I like need
take
to go
it overseas.
To the doctor. Yeah, and like be better and not be sick.
Grace was sick for like a solid
yeah,
month.
Yeah, I've just learned that like phlegm is my natural state now.
Oh, no.
Which I mean, it's one of those things that if anyone else was in my body, they'd be like, oh, I'm going to a doctor immediately. And I'm like, it'll fix itself eventually. I'm pretty patient with it.
Have you ever gotten a neti pot? Have you done that?
Have not done that.
That's a good time.
Is it?
Oh, it is. Especially if you're like really mucousy and phlegmy.
Yeah.
It is. It's fun. Like you can feel actual. It's like when you poop, when you really have to poop and you're like, I'm so like light and like bouncy now. That's how your nose feels. Like it's like full weights out of your nose and like your head gets lighter.
Wow.
It's amazing.
I will have to, you know, save a Friday or Saturday night for a real fun time.
It is also so fucking terrible because the feeling that you get when you get water in your nose, that's what you're just intentionally doing.
I think I'd be freaked out with myself.
Oh, it's painful.
And you have to like do it in front of a mirror. So yes. I'd be forcing myself to watch myself go
drown.
Through pain.
And you're like, just drowning yourself. And you're like, you actually feel like you're dying, but it all comes out.
Yeah. Okay. One day.
I'm going to do that later. It got me all excited.
Did you do the peroxide thing?
Which one?
Oh, no. I was going to say that. But yeah, that's the other thing. The earwax stuff. I haven't done that either.
Melissa was telling me about all these different tricks, but I did take a bobby pin to Mads' ear and cleaned out the earwax.
Is that my God. Good?
Yeah. That's what she told me to do.
Really?
I did it when I was a child and I still do it.
And child Melissa was an MD.
So much shit out of his ears.
Right? I told you.
So much. But like,
I feel like I do like eardrum damage or something.
No, it doesn't. You can see it. Like, and feel it.
So you're basically playing Operation on your ear by yourself.
You're just scraping it out.
Yeah. And I have none. I have no fucking earwax.
Humble brag.
Well, yeah. No, I was like, as someone that's waxy.
I know. That's what I wouldn't want to do it because I don't want to see what's going on in there.
As someone who loves to pick and loves paws and everything, when I was like, I have nothing, like, I was so sad. But then I just did his. And he was like, can you please get out of my ears? I'm like, no, there's more. This is so fun. I like was putting it all onto like a white piece of paper so he could see it all. And he's like, I don't
just
need
showing
to
him
see
his
it.
Shame.
Yeah, I'm like, look at it. It's so gross.
You're disgusting. Yeah. And there's proof.
And then we were Googling what different colors and consistencies meant. It was a good time.
God.
It was a romantic night.
Wow. Yeah. That's a real bonding.
It's good foreplay. Fucking foreplay. Honestly though, that is like, for me, I'm like, yeah, this is what it does for me. Well guys, this is an advice podcast. If you're new here, welcome. If you want to give us a call for an upcoming episode, our phone number is 310-694-0976. My cold medicine did not make me forget that, even though I thought it did.
Impressive.
International listeners, you can send us an audio message at meganpodcast@gmail.com. Okay, I'm ready.
Hi, I am 20 years old and I just finished my sophomore year in college. And I recently, well, not too recently, probably a good like 6 months ago, I started talking to this guy and it was nothing serious. And like from the start, I just didn't want to be in a relationship as I got out of a toxic relationship not that long beforehand, like before I started talking to this guy. And you know, things were going smoothly. It was a fun time. He seemed like a good guy. And, recently he tried asking to borrow probably about, I think there's $126 for me. Which kind of freaked me out as we're not that close. And I talked to my friends about it and they all freaked out, you know, trying to tell me to, you know, get away from him because I'm fortunate and like I've been used before for like money reasons. And it's not that I wouldn't mind helping. It's just that it's kind of, I can't help but get the feeling that he's trying to use me. So I don't know if I should keep talking to him or not because, you know, I never got the feeling from him that he seemed like he had, you know, questionable intentions, but now I can't help but think that he does. Sorry for like rambling and talking so quickly, but yeah, I just don't know what to do in this situation because I kind of did start seeing something more with him like after a while, but now this situation has just kind of scared me.
Did she pay him?
It sounds like she didn't.
Yeah.
Or it sounds like she's in the middle of deciding whether she should or not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're a sophomore in college. You don't want a relationship. This guy hasn't, from what it sounds like, proposed a relationship. He's just sort of seemed interested in you and then asked you for money, which is a red flag across the board. It can be
so
the most
weird.
Prince Charming of Prince Charmings. But like, I think you just say flat out, I'm not comfortable lending you money.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean I don't like you any less. And then if he goes, cool, sorry, and like backpedals and like actually wants to hang out with you, then there's possibility for something there. Mm-hmm. But if he gets weird and starts like distancing himself after you're just like, no, I'm not comfortable lending someone money in this situation, then that's a bad dude.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's weird that he asked. I'd be done. I'd be done just now. Cause like if I was going out with a guy for even for like a little while and like, I don't want to say like as opposed to like if we were out at a restaurant and we had gotten dinner and he was like, holy fucking shit, I left my wallet. Like, right. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm like, no, I got this. It's fine. But yeah. Like, if it's like, hey, can I borrow? It's just odd because not that like you guys are like casually dating or whatever, but like, you shouldn't be like your relationship with him shouldn't be the first person he would ask.
Yeah.
Like there should be like a line. Like if you like, and there's no shame in like not being able to make ends meet and like needing to ask someone for a loan or for money. But like, there's like a list of people
there's
that
like
you
a
would
hierarchy
ask.
Of yeah. other people.
And like, if you were the first person, so like no matter which way you go, it's bad. Like if you were the first person, it's fucking weird. But yeah. also like if you weren't the first person and he got turned down by all of the other people
yeah.
and he still asked you like, that's really fucking weird.
Also, $126. What is it for?
So specific.
And like, if it's a parking ticket and he's like, I can't pay my parking ticket. Is there any, I'm embarrassed to even ask you this. Is there any way I could borrow money? Still weird. Like you yeah. said, there should be other people that have the capability to lend him money. And if they don't, then that's another red flag mm-hmm. of his relationships with other people. Also, $126 to a sophomore in college is a lot of
that
money.
Is, yeah. That's like my mind immediately was like, what do you need? Like,
yeah.
What do you absolutely need that for that like you're also the person that he's asking? And like, I'm not here to like perpetuate like the toxic masculinity like thing of being like, oh, guys need to be like strong and pay for things. But like, even if like the roles were reversed and it was like a heterosexual guy calling in and a mm-hmm. girl was asking for that, like
still weird.
Yeah. I think it's just still weird because like you're, especially if you're like casually dating somebody. That's when it's like best foot forward. I don't fart. Like yeah. I am so cute. Yeah. Like I'm the best. And like, if this is like him being like the most like polished, like best foot forward version of himself and the best foot like forward version of himself is asking for money. Like what is him like a year and a half into a relationship? Right. Like
mm-hmm. also she's been used for money in the past. So there's yeah. probably some sort of emotional conditioning that like, giving money is a sign of like love to the person that you're with, and just you need to be really confident in the fact or understand it's fundamentally probably easier to understand than actually believe that you not giving this person money doesn't make you a bad person
yeah.
and doesn't make you any less attractive overall to someone that's really going to be it want a genuine relationship with you
yeah.
especially if this is something that you've gone through in the past like mm-hmm. I'm sure there is conditioning of like if I give him money he'll like me more
yeah.
That's not the case.
No. I say cut your lot, like just be done with him now and like just say like, yeah, like I'm not comfortable like giving you money. And then if he gets weird, if you can look past it and like move on, then I think yeah. like that's fine. And if he can too, but like be wary of it. But if it was me in the situation, it would automatically be like, I don't think you're hot anymore. I am unattracted to you. Like, this is gross.
Yeah. I think because I also am like one of those people that wants to like help everyone yeah. and wants to make everyone feel good. But I think at this point, I'd just be like, that's weird to me.
Yeah.
I mean, do you want to talk about like, that's weird to me? Mm-hmm. I feel bad for you, but I've been used before and I don't like this situation. And so this is like a weird thing that I have to kind of create a boundary for.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just fucking weird. Just mm-hmm. fucking weird.
Plus you're on a college
weird.
Campus. There's probably tons of other people out
yeah.
there. Move on to someone that has good credit.
Yeah. Ooh. Nothing is sexier yeah. than good credit.
Yeah, right.
Like, sexy. Damn, boy. Yeah. Do you pay your car on time?
I know.
You got all your payments on time.
You can pay your tuition.
Ooh. Oh, so hot. That's pretty hot. I didn't even go to college. I'm wet for your good credit.
Ay. Also, it sounds like you have good friends if they're all, like, telling you yeah. immediately, like, I don't trust this mm-hmm. person, then rely on them more. It seems like they care about you.
Yeah.
So that's good for you. It's not like you're alone in this.
Yeah. And I think it's okay to be generous and want to treat people to things, but it's like, I'm a big fan of like treating people to stuff and being generous, but mm-hmm. like most of the time my friends are like, please stop. Like, I don't want you to do this anymore.
Right.
Or, but like if then they ever turned and were like, hey, can I have this? I'd be like, what? Like,
yeah.
Like, it's just like an odd thing. And especially if you have been taken advantage of before, to me, that sounds like you're probably a pretty generous person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then if someone can see that you're generous and then is like, ooh, how can I squeeze more out of her? Like, that's how you know they're fucking shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like hard and devastating to like see to not oh, yeah. want to believe that someone's good and this might be a hiccup, and then to see that like, oh, they're actually like, this is part of their personality, and that can be a huge bummer, and it's hard to walk away from that. But
yeah,
seems like you got more stuff going on that's good in your mm-hmm. world.
Tell them boy bye.
Hey,
my new thing. Mm-hmm. Everyone tell them boy bye. Bye bye. On to the next.
Hi, Megan and Mel and special guest. I have a situation that I definitely need help with. I am turning 21 in 2 days, and I have been with my boyfriend for about 3 months now. His parents own a yoga studio, and his ex-girlfriend works for his parents at their yoga studio. There could be much worse situations. However, just wait, it gets better. I teach spin and bar at a different studio, and she comes to my classes. She's really sweet, and I have a difficult time not being nice to her, especially in the professional settings where I'm the instructor. However, there have been numerous occasions where she's had one-on-one conversations with me, either trying to talk poorly about my boyfriend to me, or tells me about times that she would spend the night at his house, or how perfect of a fit she would have been for his family. Because she is so involved in the community, my boyfriend and his family don't see a problem with inviting her to dinner or even just going to dinner or brunch with her separately. However, it makes me really uncomfortable, and it feels wrong that it makes me uncomfortable. I feel like I'm expected to be okay with the entire situation, even though she is his ex, and that isn't going to change. But also, I don't feel I should have to compromise with everything. And I'm not really sure how to handle this situation, especially considering my birthday is coming up in 2 days, because I'm really scared that someone's going to invite her to go out with us. And I really just don't want her there. I don't want my boyfriend's ex there. And I don't feel like that's too wrong of an expectation to set. In fact, she was at my class this morning and asked me what I wanted for my birthday. It's a really strange situation. And at times I feel like my life is some sick sitcom. Like, hello, friends, here I am, and my life, it doesn't make sense, and it's this weird, ironic mess that I sincerely and genuinely need so much help with. So, if you have any amazing advice for how to handle the situation with my boyfriend, or his parents, or his ex, please let me know, because at this point, I'm resorting to just killing her with kindness, because I'm a little bit of a petty bitch, and, you know, I don't want her having the upper hand, so please just let me know what you think I could do in this situation.
Wow. Oh, first of all, dude, that sucks a dick.
Dude, that sucks so hard.
Wow. Yeah, that's a meshed to the max.
I'm just like, I feel like I don't want happy belated birthday. But also, like, I feel so bad for you, because this is one of those situations when, like, if there's like, if you're like just talking to one other person, you like disagree on something, and you're like, you don't necessarily think you're crazy, but like, mm-hmm. if there's a whole fucking family and your boyfriend who are on one side, oh. and then it's just you, and you're like, wait, am I being like, you're not being crazy at
you're
all.
You're being so reasonable.
So they're being fucking insane.
It's it's bonkers all the way around. And like you said, it's probably, you feel like an island of one right now, yeah. in this situation, especially when there's adult parents that seem like this is okay. Like, turns out, like, sometimes parents are bonkers.
Oh my God.
Completely
yeah.
insensitive and way backwards about mm-hmm. the way that they handle situations. I think, first of all, everything that you're feeling is good and genuine and reasonable and normal and mm-hmm. healthy and the right way to be thinking about this. But it is also, as a 21-year-old now, it's hard to like put your foot down, especially with like parents yeah. of someone. If you're, I mean, they're only 3 months into dating, which mm-hmm. so it's relatively new. So you don't want to be like, I'm the jealous girlfriend, when you're not. You're being a yeah. reasonable human being.
Yeah, it's just like, it's exactly that. Like, they're being unreasonable. Like yeah. the idea that, like, I'm not friends with exes, but like, more than that, the idea that I would want like my like boyfriend to be friends with my ex and be cool with me being friends with my ex. Like yeah. there's all these levels here. Like, it doesn't matter. No matter how cool and chill and great they think that she is, like, she doesn't serve the same purpose in his life. So mm-hmm. like, it's not like a childhood friend that no. like they had a flirtation or whatever, like that, they were introduced to her as his girlfriend and you are now his girlfriend. Like, right. They don't owe the relationship with her anything.
No, there's a certain imbalance of respect going on right now. Like, you're being so sweet and thoughtful and, like, even considering that the way you're feeling feels wrong is so sweet of you to, like, have those thoughts. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they're not trying to make you feel more comfortable is a bit of a bummer. And maybe it is just a really direct conversation with your boyfriend. You have to talk to the parents. Let the boyfriend talk to his parents on your behalf. Maybe it's like, just be as direct as you can and then see what happens from there. Like, that's all you can really do. I've had that in relationships where a boyfriend has like called me out on talking too much about previous relationships and not in a way that I was like longing for them or anything, just in storytelling about like events and things.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'm kind of uncomfortable hearing about all your previous relationships. And I got defensive for a second, but then realized like, no, if the tables were turned, I would feel the exact same way that he does. And because I want to treat people how I want to be treated, it's up to me now to make changes to make this person comfortable. So if, I mean, I would say just present it as bluntly as possible.
Yeah. And I think if your boyfriend then is like, no, but like, it's fine. It's cool. Like, you have every right to be not cool and not okay with it. And like, the way that they're presenting it to you and talking to you about it is as if like, you're the crazy one. But if he had another girlfriend, this is exactly how she would feel too. Like, this is not a unique, this is not you being hypersensitive or anything like that. So I think if you tell your boyfriend, and also like, you can even tell your boyfriend, like, yeah. And like, as much as you guys say that she's cool, like, it puts me in a weird position because like, I'm nice to her when she comes to my class all the time, which is awkward enough because she comes and wants to talk shit about you.
Like, that's the thing that gets me, because like, you know, I'm friends with my exes, like friends with their girlfriends, like current girlfriends too. But I would never talk shit about them.
And that's like why I would never manipulate.
And I never go out of my way. Like, there's something a little off, a little bonkers about her showing up to your class. One, showing up to your class. You can spin somewhere else, I'm sure. Uh-huh. And two, like, then talking to you and inserting herself into your relationship in a way of like, what would you like for your birthday? There's a little like petty weird stuff on her end.
I'm gonna wear your skin.
I mean, that was like single white femaling situation. And also, like, you don't owe this girl comfort. Like, you don't need to make this woman comfortable because she's making you uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Killing someone with kindness is obviously like a great philosophy, but I think that there, you can be a little bit more assertive. And if you're, you know, if you're brave enough, this is easier said than done. Like, let her know, like, I'm a little uncomfortable, like, with you being so close in our relationship. Hopefully you respect that. I know if like tables were turned in this situation, you probably wouldn't want someone like feeling like they're encroaching on your relationship as it's in like the building stages of it. And that's not invalid to like feel or say.
Yeah, because I think like you're, especially if your boyfriend's partaking in it and if he has any sort of like gripe with you wanting to have the separation, to me it sounds like a guy who like wants to keep his options open. And like, it's like, as sucky as that is, it's like he's okay with his parents still romanticizing her and keeping her around because he isn't totally done with the idea of her in the long term.
Like, yeah, because it sounds like if she keeps saying how she could have been a great fit, that he probably broke up with her.
Yeah.
And then it's too enmeshed for the parents in the business to like have her completely leave.
And he's not squashing it. And that's what happens. Like, when parents still have attachment to like exes and whatever, like, that's the their child who has been in that relationship. It's their responsibility to be like, no, that's my relationship. That's done. Yeah. I don't want you to talk to them anymore. Like, we need that separation. This is my new girlfriend. Like, I need you to respect her. And if he's not doing that, to me, that sounds like he's just not a good boyfriend. Like, that's that, I think, like, you need to, like, it's not even just necessarily about like, oh, she needs to stop doing this. Like, he needs to not want her to be doing this.
There's like a lack of maturity in that, of like understanding, like, if this is going to be a serious relationship and she's trying to be mature and respectful, like, he owes her that too.
Yeah. I think it's just like, in general, if you're the person you're dating is too close with their ex and it makes you uncomfortable, your boyfriend or girlfriend's number one priority for person who they want to make feel comfortable is you. Yeah. Like, it's not their ex. Like, he doesn't owe his ex, like, well, I don't want to hurt my ex's feelings. It's like, well, you're not dating her. Like,
you already hurt her feelings. Yeah. So she clearly wants to still be with you and you broke it off.
And you don't have to see her all the time. It's like the person that you have to, like, that you owe it to is the person that you're actively pursuing and like in a relationship with. Mm-hmm. And if he's not going to give you that level of respect that he's giving her and like that like niceness, I think that you need to be able to feel confident to walk away from the situation knowing that it's not you and that this situation is like an unrealistic ask of anybody. Like, And if he dates somebody else, like he'll date a girl and then she'll be like, oh, what the fuck? No, I'm not down for this at all.
Yeah. Can you imagine celebrating your 21st birthday and she just showed up?
I would lose my fucking mind. There's a girl who works out at my gym that my boyfriend hooked up with like years ago. Uh-huh. And when he told me about it, I was like, oh, I want to find out what girl it is. And he was like, no, please don't. And I'm like, no, I'm going to find out. And then the next time I was in a workout class, I could tell quickly because she was death glaring me. But it was like one of those things that I'm like, he literally was like, well, what time does she go? I don't want to fucking go. Like, is avoiding like the plague. Yeah, and I'm like, that's how it should be. And he's like, I'm really sorry. And I'm like, you hooked up with a girl when you're like 23 when I didn't even know you and you're apologizing to me. Like,
that's thoughtfulness.
And it's like avoiding those situations. Like, you should never want to put your significant other in a situation where they could potentially feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And then if you're doing it, then being like, well, why do you feel weird? Like, this is fine.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how nice this girl is. That's also sometimes kind of worse. Like when like your ex has like a really nice girl, but you're like, oh, I want to hate you so bad, but you're so fucking nice.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't even matter if she's like chill and cool and nice. It's also so fucking weird. Like, okay. I mean, she's definitely.
This girl doesn't sound nice though. This girl sounds she's a calculated fire sign. Yeah. And
she's a Scorpio or she's a Leo.
Yeah. This ex-girlfriend sounds like she's going out of her way to make you uncomfortable and she knows it. Like there's no world in which this is an accident that she's showing up and you happen to be the teacher of these classes and it's an accident that she starts word vomiting like that she could have been perfect for their family. Like that's
it's
crazy.
Intentional. It's like very much an intentional. She's trying to make you insecure in your relationship too.
Yeah.
And she's trying to insert herself and keep herself around. So then you become the girl who goes fucking crazy and insane. Mm-hmm. And then she's there looking like this stable, like, oh my gosh, I didn't know how this happened. And then suddenly like she's the light and everyone's like, oh, he should be back with her.
Totally. And if she can't get to the ex-boyfriend, she's getting to him through you.
And through his parents.
And that's not fair.
No.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I think you can continue to kill her with kindness because it sounds like you sound like a very sweet person in general. You don't sound like very like ruthless in that sense. But I think having a super honest, direct conversation with your boyfriend is like the way to go.
I think your boyfriend needs to hear you out. And if he doesn't hear you out, I think like fucking kick him to the curb.
Boy, bye.
Yeah, boy, bye. Boy, bye. Oh, should we go on to the next?
Let's do it.
Hi, I'm 18 years old and I am calling for some advice basically about healing, I guess you could say, and like moving on from previous relationships. So basically, I've just recently broken up with and one of my first relationships is very like physically abusive. Second one, very like sexually abusive, and I guess just in a lot of my relationships I've dealt with a lot of people kind of I feel like using me for sex and like basically that being like the predominant factor in the relationship. And just recently with the person who broke up with me, it's been kind of hard because in previous relationships I've had reasons to be angry with the person, but in this case like there's nothing really wrong with the guy. He never did anything bad to me. He just really didn't have feelings for me. So I guess what I'm calling and asking about is I get like a lot of anxiety about these kinds of things and like just this kind of feeling like I've only been used for sex for the past like few relationships and just in a lot of relationships in my life and stuff. So I'm just calling and I guess asking for advice about how to be basically like move on from these relationships and encounters and kind of, I guess, avoid being used and kind of ending up heartbroken. So thank you so much. I love your podcast and I kind of look up to you as a big sister. So thank you.
So nice.
Wow.
Oof.
Yeah.
That's rough.
It is.
I think, like, how old did you say she was?
She's a teenager.
18? I heard 18. A teen.
She's 18.
Yeah.
18. So you're very young.
Yeah. I think, like, one of the saddest things that I think we've, like, learned in the last, like, year or so is, like, how incredibly common it is for just, like, women in general to have ended up in, like, multiple relationships or situations that are just, like, not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now is the time that, like, we're, like, not that we were accepting of that kind of behavior before, but then kind of realizing that it's not that as much as like that was the that has been the norm for so long and for so many people, that that's not okay.
Yeah.
And I think like while it might be hard, especially when it's like time after time after time for you for a while, I think like if you look at your life in like the scheme of like how much more of your life you have to live, like this period of your life is going to be like relatively short.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to like victim shame or blame at all, because like it has nothing to do with you and like any like predators or like assault and any like shitty people, like they're going to be doing that regardless. But at least for me, I got into the habit of when I would hop from like unhealthy relationship to unhealthy relationship, like it was because I didn't give myself the time to like think that I deserved more than that and better than that. And it wasn't that like I was letting these people do this to me, but it was like the first time that someone treats you really shitty and really bad, as sad as it is, like there could be parts of you that are like, oh, this is what I deserve. This is all that I'm worth. And then it's not that you let other people do that again, but you tend to seek out other people who validate that really negative thought that you have of yourself. And not that I think that like you brought this upon yourself at all, but I think at least for me, I got into a really terrible habit of dating people who fulfilled like the worst image I had of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until that I took like a year long break from dating anybody. And I always said that it was like my picker was off, and that like I was subconsciously seeking out these people.
Yep.
And when I took that like long break and I started like dating so many different kinds of people, not the people that I was immediately attracted to. Mm-hmm. And that can be also like a super fucked up thing that happens with like if you've been like any time with like toxic relationships or like emotional abusive, anything like that, like your psyche can then make you attracted to those things, which is so fucked up. And like, you're like, brain, this is so not nice to me. Like, why would you make me like then be attracted to these people or someone who reminds me
it's
of someone?
It's a form of like self-harm.
Exactly. And I think like once you... For me, it was taking a huge break. And then it was like, I'm not going to immediately go after the guys that I'm automatically interested in, because that hasn't done well for me, because I don't think that I'm attracted to what's good for me. I think like it's like fulfilling this terrible thing. And so that for me was like then dating people that were nothing like my type, and just like a really like broad range, and also like taking my time with it, because I think that was also like when you jump from relationship to relationship, like you can tend to put a lot of importance on someone else, like fixing you and making you feel validated and worthy and okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that like, you're never going to get over this like bad relationship or like this toxic abuse unless like until you get into a good relationship, when in reality, like it doesn't have to do with a partner. Like you move on from all that stuff solo and by yourself. And until you do that, I just find that like no matter how great a guy is, he's never going to make you feel better, because like this is something that you have to deal with on your own, which or and like as I'm learning in therapy, like not by yourself, but like with somebody who's not that role that you're trying to fill. Like no one is ever big enough to fill that role, because like you've had these things happen to you and like you need to process and deal with them and what they mean to you as a person and who you are and how you deal with your feelings and emotions and relationships. But you can't process that and deal with that in a relationship with a romantic partner.
Yeah, I agree. I think, first of all, these two people that used you in that way suck. They're terrible people and clearly have their own problems. Two, I was going to say, I think if you have the means or any sort of resources to talk to a therapist or a counselor, there's probably a lot of lingering trauma from those situations that's going to affect the way that you approach relationships moving forward. And I'm sure you feel devastated right now because you just got broken up with in a relationship where you can't pinpoint something that they did wrong that you could, which is what we'd use a lot. I know anytime a relationship ended, I would look for all the negative things that person did to me so I could move on.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't even really moving on. Like I was just using excuses to move forward. And same, I started going to therapy consistently last year. And that's like the biggest tool that's helped me find a relationship that feels strong in its foundation and makes me feel valid. And I feel valid feeling great about myself in the relationship. Yeah. That I think that, and I'm no specialist to talk to any of the trauma that you've been through, but I think at 18, recognizing that you had really toxic, shitty, using type of relationships is huge, because now you have a tool to start talking and working through all that and to be able to pinpoint when or if it happens in a future relationship. Because a lot of people, like you were saying, now in this culture, it's been, lots of things have been brought to light. So I think a lot of people have these realizations that they had all these shitty experiences without even really knowing it, because they had no way to, like, they didn't truly believe that that was as bad as it was. Mm-hmm. Like, we rationalize the good out of really bad traumatic situations. So being able now to just start, like, here's your jumping off point. I think you should really work on yourself and not worry about having to find, like you said, a great partner that validates you and, quote, fixes you.
Yeah. No, I think that's exactly, I mean, it.
Being 18 sucks anyway. This Dude, is a lot.
Yeah. But exactly like you said, like, the realization of knowing that, like, it took me therapy and way longer to realize, like, oh, wow. Like,
to unpack all those situations.
Yeah. Like, so much of this stuff that, like, I was carrying baggage on from these other things. And, like,
and you have no idea. And then it's like, oh, I didn't realize that I had this, like bomb minefield of triggers that come from other things that have affected the way I've interacted in a relationship in my, like, now present day.
Yeah. As my, one of my, I have two therapists, but as one of them says, my favorite line, if it's historic,
if it's hysterical,
she knows, but if it's hysterical, it's historical. And that for me, I was like, oh, wow.
What does that mean exactly?
Basically, like, if you're in an argument with someone or something happens, even if it doesn't regard anyone else, and like your reaction, it just feels like so blown out of proportion. It's because you're, as opposed to like being the base level, like, if for the audio listeners, I'm doing hand gestures.
Yeah.
But for like the base level being here, instead it's here. It's because this has happened so many times before that your threshold for it, like, you just go from 0 to 100 like so fast. Yeah. So as opposed to getting, like, if someone says something, essentially just triggers, like, if someone says something that would make anyone else like sad, but it makes you absolutely devastated, it's because it's not the first time you've heard it.
Yeah.
And like, it just takes your mind right back to that. And I think that for me was like incredibly helpful in dating, especially, was like the fact that I was like, oh wow, like, I've loved crazy guys. Like, I loved a guy who would like show up, like, drive 3 states away and show up where I was for my birthday. And I was like, so romantic.
Impulsive. And
I'm like, fucking insane.
Yeah.
But like, then there were certain things that, like, when our, and I would then get into this habit of like playing games with them, because like they would play mind games with me, I would play mind games with them, and like that became exciting and what I liked.
Yeah.
And when I tried to do that for the first time with like my current boyfriend, he was like, what are you doing? And I was like, what? And he was like, and I was like, oh, I'm like out of town, like, so sorry, I can't come. He's like, no, I literally, what? Like, I, we still have the same calendar. Like, I know you're in town. Like, why are you avoiding me? Yeah. Like, whatever. And I was just like, oh, ah. And it just became this whole thing that it was like, when someone else presented as like such a rational thing. And then even same thing in therapy. It's like when someone says something. So like when they say that these things that you think in your mind, or like you spiral in your mind, and someone says it in such a rational way that you're like, yeah, there is no point for me. The reason why I'm doing this is because this is what I've known. Like this is what I've done before, and it becomes a habit. It's not the only way to do it. It just means it's the only way you really know how to do it. And the way that you probably feel the most comfortable, and like the guys that you probably feel the most like immediately attracted to or comfortable around, or you feel like you have like a repertoire with immediately, are probably similar to the guys who have treated you like shit, because that's what you know. And as much as like it's the devil you know versus the devil that you don't, and like as scary as that is, I think like the most important thing you can do is, like you said, like you need like the space away from trying to find somebody to fill that and to make you, I don't know, I think I, at least like with relationship in general, like they all fail until one doesn't.
Yeah.
And I think like for me, I definitely, every time I would have a bad relationship, like I wanted like in my mind to know, it's like if you get like rejected or something, you're like want to like, oh, I want to get on a dating app and I want to like, I just want to know that I'm still cool. Like I want to know I'm still
hot.
I want
to be fulfilled by attention that's positive.
Yeah. And so then when it comes to relationships, like that's just so much harder, because it's like you have a bad relationship, you want to be validated knowing that you can have a good relationship.
Yeah.
But then you're hopping right back into something, and like that's not like a quick fix sort of thing. And I think like,
and it's gonna fuck with your self-worth.
Yeah.
Like there's this whole thing in the Eckhart Tolle books about pain bodies. Like we all have these pain bodies, which are essentially like the negative views that we have about ourselves. And a lot of times we just feed those pain bodies because, like you said, it's super familiar.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you're subconsciously seeking out a certain type of person that makes you feel a certain way that you're so used to feeling, albeit completely negative and shitty and used. And so it's like talking to someone outside of a romantic relationship to start figuring out like, why do I seek this out?
Yeah.
These have been really terrible situations in the past. I want to move forward. And I know you asked about healing. Everyone's healing process is totally different.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to be like, here's the actual formula of exactly what to do. And this will be the outcome for you. It's just starting to ask yourself more, I guess, deeper questions about yourself. And it's so, as someone that's a monogamous, like serial monogamous, like dating person, it's so, so easy to seek out a relationship after a breakup just to fulfill that stent, like the distraction and not want to feel alone.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're alone, you're faced with all of your pain bodies. You're faced with all the negative things. You're faced with all the memories of the bad stuff that's happened. You're faced with all like the self-loathing of like not feeling enough. But if you're in a new relationship and someone's validating that you're like pretty and fun and stuff like that, then you don't have to, you can ignore working through any of that. So it sounds like you're ready to start doing the work.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunately what it is. It's work.
Yeah. And it's not necessarily like fun, which my therapist always laughs at me when I'm like, this isn't fun. She's like, well, it's not supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't like it. And she was like, well, I think it's helping. I'm like, yeah, but I'm not having a good time.
I know. I avoided therapy for so long because I knew it was not going to be fun. Yeah. And I knew I'd be lying. And I've gone to therapy in the past consistently lying to my therapist because I don't want to reveal how bad I feel. Any of the bad situations. So I'll just give her like 10%
level.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then it's like, oh, why am I not getting better? Oh, because I'm not actually participating 100. I'm giving this person a lot of money to not help me.
Like, I just want you to think I'm cool. And I have my shit together. Think that,
like, I'm like kind of a, like a little bit of a mess, but like I already like I'm really self-aware about it.
Like, oh, I already know what I'm doing wrong. And yeah. Like, why are you here?
I mean, calling into you, I think, is a really great step to even be able to be like, I feel shitty right now and I don't want to feel shitty. That's like literally the first step.
Yeah. Well, best of luck. Good sending luck. You lots of love. Okay, guys, it's time for a quick break and we'll be right back.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by a sponsor we love, 310 Nutrition. 310 Nutrition is helping us, you, our listeners, in the new year with protein and superfood rich products with so many options and flavors for your personal preferences. They're adding new products all of the time, and I just got my, I mean, I didn't just get my package. I just got a secondary of my package, and I, as someone who needs electrolytes to function, there it's like elixir from the gods. I cannot sing their praises enough, specifically the cucumber flavor of this electrolyte mix is delicious. Like it's so good. I've even like had it on like ice and been like, I'm drinking like a drink. Like you can throw a little straw in there. And it's delicious. It's so good. And I love, they're filled with so many great ingredients that really help if you're like me and you like, you know, medically need some electrolytes, but also if you're working out, if you're sweating, hot summer day, you're going to an amusement park, you're on your feet for a long period of time, all of that. Most of us are not getting the electrolytes we need.
Yeah, I drink mine specifically when I am working out. It's my beverage while I'm working out. I just take one stick of the hydrate, mix it in with my bottle of water. 16 ounces of water can provide the same amount of hydration equal to drinking 2 to 3 bottles of water if you got that hydrate in there. They also have the all-in-one shakes, which I absolutely love. I'm running low, so I gotta get some more. But I love the chocolate bliss, the vanilla cream, the caramel sundae. I have all three of those flavors. Sometimes I mix and match them. Sometimes I'll use it when I'm baking, or I'll just drink it straight. And they're so good. They have a triplex protein blend, plant-based proteins that include pea, brown rice, and pumpkin that makes it so delicious. You can get fiber and superfood blends with more than 25 organic fibers and superfoods blended into one easy, delicious shake. And they also have 3-10's 4-shake flavor starter kit, which lets you sample all the flavors for only $9.
Right now, 3-10 is celebrating a new year of goals with Don't Blame Me and giving our listeners 50% off up to $100 for your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and super easy to put together an order, or you can start a subscription on products you know you'll use. Go to 310nutrition.com and use the code BLAMEME right now for 50% off up to $100 for your first order. That's 310nutrition.com and use code BLAMEME.
In our live stream, our listeners are always recommending and talking about books. So we're so excited about Book of the Month because this is something that our listeners are going to love.
This is a brand that I've been familiar with for a long time. I like love watching people talk about it. I love seeing what books people are reading and like what books they have available. And I love everything about it. So I'm so excited for someone who like... You know, the ease of getting into a book, a lot of it can feel like really daunting. So to have like a service where it's like, you're going to get like high quality hardcover books, which that's my preferred way to read, at incredible prices, but also curated. So it's like amazing, cool, wonderful, great. It's kind of like a straight shot into that, and something that Book of the Month you can do over and over and over again. And one of the great things about it is the longer you are part of the program, the cheaper the books get.
Book of the Month's mission is to help readers discover new books they love and promote the work of emerging authors. One of the amazing things about Book of the Month is that every aspect of Book of the Month experience is designed to be fun and special for readers. First of all, the books come in a bright blue box, which is very pretty. Me and Megan were just talking about them. There's also a fun app to pick your books and track reading progress. And as well, there are reading challenges and rewards.
And Book of the Month makes it really easy to decide what book to read next, which for me is like the biggest hurdle. I love when other people make choices for me, especially when they're good choices. And I'm like, cool, I can trust you. So each month, the editorial team reads through hundreds of new titles and they pick some of the best new books for you to choose from. All of the books are so good, you can't go wrong. And I mean that wholeheartedly. When we were picking like our selects for this, I was like, wait, I like all of them. This is hard. And I literally coordinated with Melissa and I was like, okay, so these are like my top ones. I'm assuming they will be yours. So don't pick the same one as me so then we can swap afterwards. And that's what we did.
So we got The Ministry of Time by Killian Bradley. And we also received The Return of Ellie Black by Emiko Jean.
The Ministry of Time is like, people are calling it like, if you're a fan of Outlander and like spy novels or time traveling books, it's quoted from Town and Country saying it's really innovative, fun storytelling. The Ministry of Time is definitely for you, and listed as 45 of the must-read books for spring 2024. And then Harper's Bazaar also said part time travel romance, part spy thriller, and 100% multifaceted joyride. When I tell you that, I was like, sold.
We're also excited about The Return of Ellie Black, and this one is about a missing girl who returns, but that isn't the end of the story. It's only the beginning. We both like a detective book. This one is 20 years since Detective Chelsea Calhoun's sister vanishes. Ever since, Chelsea has been searching for signs for closure for other missing girls. But happy endings are rare in Chelsea's line of work. which that sounds so intriguing, and I'm looking forward to reading this novel so much.
Can't wait, and we're so excited to usher in this new sponsor. And we know y'all are already going to love this. Plus, we've been recommended this so many times. Mm-hmm. So we've already got fans in you. Try the service yourself at bookofthemonth.com, and you can get your first book for $5 with code PETALS. That is your first book, $5 at bookofthemonth.com using code PETALS.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
On to the next.
I am 22 years old and I am currently talking to a guy that is 20. I've been talking to him for what's going to be 10 months in about 2 weeks, so 9.5 months. And we are still not dating. So I met him in the summertime. We talked for about 2 weeks before we got, you know, like we started kissing and stuff like that. And he did tell me at first, like he told me, he's like, I'm not looking for a relationship right now, but I want to like enjoy this with you while we can, because I do really like enjoy your presence. And I wasn't looking for a relationship either, because I had just gotten out of a serious 3-year relationship at the time that had been over for 2 years though. So like, I wasn't just, it's not a rebound. but we were honest and upfront about that. And so I didn't think that we would be talking for very long, but here I am. It's been 9.5 months and we really do have feelings for each other. We both say that we care about each other a lot and we talk every single day, all day. We hang out every weekend. I sleep over at his house. Like, we haven't had sex yet, but that's like a personal thing. Neither one of us are really ready for that if we're not going to be in a relationship. So I don't know. Okay. The big problem is he still won't date me. And like, he says that he likes me and he still wants to talk to me. And like, I don't know. I feel like we both have so much love for each other, but he's still not ready for that. And I personally feel like he needs to go to therapy because he had like a really bad relationship before he met me and like a year before he met me, and he's still not over that. And so I'm not going to date him until he's like ready to date. But I don't know how to bring up to him like, hey, dude, you need to go to therapy because this is like an issue and I can see it's hurting you. And also, like, we want to date each other, but that's never going to happen if you don't like get to the bottom of what you're going through.
Oh my God.
Stop talking to him. He doesn't. But like also, you. I know you won't stop talking
no,
to him.
You
so
won't.
This advice is a moot point.
Yeah, because she's already been like, she's like, off.
Should I stop talking to him? I don't want to stop talking. Girl, I've been there. Yeah. I can tell you, I could scream as loud as possible that this boy doesn't like you and is taking you on a ride for his own benefit, and you're not getting as much out of this as he is. But you're not going to hear it, I don't think.
Yeah. Like, and that's the thing that like sucks when it comes to fuckboys. It's like we have selective hearing. Mm-hmm. We're like, this is the thing. He likes you. He's told you he likes you. And he does like you.
Sure.
He just doesn't like you that much.
Yeah.
He doesn't like you enough to not want to date. And he doesn't like you enough to date you. And like, as much as that sucks, like it's a true fact. And like, I'm sure you've probably been in positions in that same way where like, there's been guys that like you've enjoyed flirting with and you like, yeah. like you wouldn't date, but like, it's yep. still fun. That's who you are in this situation.
Yeah. And it sucks. It just sucks all around. It's uncomfortable. Who knows if like, whatever the chaos or drama is from his previous relationship, if that's even real, because I know that's like a very convenient excuse to be like, I'm not ready today. I had a traumatic previous relationship. I've used that excuse because I was too much of a pussy to tell a boy that I don't think this is going to go any further. And like it happens with people. All of the telltale signs are there that this guy is just kind of, if you're willing, going to keep you around at arm's length, because the shittier thing is like you in this mentality, if another girl swoops in, all of a sudden they start dating, it's going to be devastating. Yeah. So you, I think, need to start separating now and like move on a little bit. Who knows in the future if the stars align and work separately has been done on each other, that it makes sense and you guys like hit it back off and like go right into a relationship. That's, you know, what happened with the guy I'm dating right now. It's like we hung out in the past and it wasn't the right time. And I was very much the one that like wasn't ready. Yeah. And so now the stars aligned and it's like a much solid, healthier situation.
Yeah.
So that's never out of the question. But for now, it seems like this guy, I mean, it's really been 10 months, 9.5 months,
so many
2 years, 3 years,
one year. Like, he also told you from the very beginning, like, wasn't looking for anything serious. And I think, like, a lot of the time, in general, I think we should all just be more honest with ourselves when we respond to things like that. Like, I never think you should go into a situation like when you're like defining the relationship or whatever, asking for someone what they want. I think the most important thing is just laying your cards out on the table and be like, this is what I feel, because your feelings can't be conditional on how they feel. So if like they're like, oh, I want something casual, and you're like, oh yeah, me too.
Right.
Like, no, like if you don't want something casual, that's why you need to be the one to open the conversation and be like, hey, I really like you. I really care about you. I would really love for us to like actually date.
And if that's not going to happen, I need to leave.
Yeah, because it's not fair. Because I think like, as much as you said, like back then you were cool with it. At the end of the day, I think you have been prioritizing him versus any other guy that you've been dating. Because like, as much as you weren't ready to date, he was a convenient guy to kind of be there and like you to hang out with, no pressure, as you got over your breakup. And then you didn't put any energy and effort into anyone else. Mm-hmm. And so it's all in him. And so now you're waiting, being like, okay, well, I'm ready to date. And he from the beginning told you that he wasn't ready to.
So on his end, he's like, I haven't ever lied to you.
Yeah.
And it's a really also a convenient lie we tell ourselves, because it's embarrassing to be the one that's more in than the other person.
Yeah.
It's very easy when you meet someone that you genuinely really like to lie to yourself and say, I also don't want a relationship. But like you said, you were checked out of your 3-year relationship 2 years before.
Yeah.
So you've already like moved on emotionally from that situation. So I don't think you're grieving the loss of that relationship mm-hmm. since you were mentally checked out already. So you probably were ready to date this person.
Yeah.
And you, because he wasn't, tried to make it cool and chill and like not dramatic by also saying, yeah, yeah, on paper, I just got to have a long-term relationship. So I clearly probably am not ready to date you, even though I secretly, if you wanted to date me, I'd probably also say I want to date you
yeah.
right now.
And it's just not like, I don't think it's fair to future you because like,
yeah,
the more that you stick around, it totally sucks. But exactly like you said, he's going to meet some girl. And he is going to immediately start dating her. They've known each other for 2 weeks and he just knows.
Yeah.
If you've been around for 9.5 months and he doesn't know, that's because it's a no.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't just stick around. That doesn't just happen in that way. And you can really care for somebody and that can still not be your person. And like mm-hmm. he might wish it was you. He might really wish like, you know what? This would be so much more convenient. I really do like you. But like, I don't like you enough in that way. Like that's just like it's just not what I want right now, and like that's not what it is. And if it's not enough, like you never want to be that person who's like tugging the person that you're dating to like you as much as them. Like
yeah.
you don't want that. You don't want to have someone to play catch up where you have to dial back your feelings because you don't want to come off too strong and be too crazy. Like that's not how it should be. And like it truthfully is like if someone wants to be with you, they will be with you.
Yeah.
And like mm-hmm. especially after all of this time, like I also think like I've had friends who've like started talking to guys when they were in going through like breakups and like or dealing with it. And they've been like, hey, I really like you and I am not in a good place right now. So like let's not talk. Like,
yeah.
let's separate. And when I'm doing better, let's go out again. But it's not like, oh, I can keep you. If he's OK with keeping you around as a friend through that whole process, to me, that's not going to go anywhere. Like
yeah.
he wouldn't have done that if he truly thought that you guys had a future together and all of that stuff. He wouldn't have wanted to have all of this time in this weird limbo. Like mm-hmm. it's just not worth it. And I think he told you what his intentions were and what he wanted from the very beginning. And that doesn't mean that he doesn't care about you and that everything else he said is a lie, but it just, that rings true. His yeah. actions and all of that stuff. And therapy and all of that stuff. Like, I think like as somebody who preaches therapy hardcore, I don't think it's a case of him needing to go to therapy mm-hmm. to get over this relationship.
No.
I think you need to realize that he's not that into you and you need to get over that.
She's trying to fix him.
Yeah.
You can't go in a relationship trying to fix somebody.
Yeah. And you can't. Yeah. If he, I mean, you guys have been 9.5, 10 months hanging out.
Literally.
But also like if that guy wanted to go to therapy to fix himself, he mm-hmm. would have signed himself up already.
Yeah.
He would have done some research. It's not your job to be his secretary that looks up therapy and is like, here, if you go, then we can be in a relationship.
Yeah.
Like the coolest, most mature thing you can do at this point is be like brutally honest with yourself and recognize that either one, you really do want a relationship. And if he's not ready, you need to start opening yourself up to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Or two, if you really do not want a relationship right now, like
yeah.
just be super, super like uncomfortably honest with yourself.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's not like this is a comfortable situation for the last 10 months anyway. How can why not make it a little bit more uncomfortable and walk away?
Yeah. Because I think you're trying to find excuses and reasons to mm-hmm. get him to be where you are. And if he's not there now, you don't want to
it's all these wishes
yeah.
that you're like, and all these like fairy tales that you tell yourself that like, if he just went to therapy, we could be a couple and we'd be so strong and solid.
Yeah.
That's not, he could go to therapy and then cut it off with you immediately after.
Yeah. And also at the end of the day, it's like as much as like really think all of that out and what you think that you want, because do you want a relationship with somebody who, let's say if everything that you said is true, if that who he is into you, but like he's still so years later, still so hung up over his ex that he can't even get himself to go to therapy. He needs you to force him to go to therapy so he can realize that he does want to be in a relationship with you. Do you want to be in a relationship with that guy?
Oof,
like
no.
When you are so sure and solid of your emotions and your feelings that you need to handhold him to get to where you are. That to me is just like, that doesn't feel like a secure, stable love. That's mm-hmm. going to be like I hope you still like me. Oh, I hope you still like me. I don't want to say anything that like freaks you out because like, that's not, you don't feel secure in that.
Yeah. Also, I think none of these answers we're giving you are a surprise to you. I think you called because you already know what the answer is. Yeah. Like, you sound very intelligent and like you've done some of your own personal work that I don't think anything we're saying isn't something you've already thought of a million times.
Yeah. Oh, God.
But I'm sure you know that already.
Yeah. If she kept listening.
Yeah. She's like, got it. I got this. I'm done. Not the answer I wanted.
Not what I want to hear.
I'm going to go ask him if he wants to hang out.
What would his name be? Brad.
Mm. Oh, for sure. A Brad. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A Brad with like B-R-A-Y-D.
Yeah. Mm.
Brad.
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 You're so hot, Brad. Oh my God. Okay. On to the next.
Hi, Megan. I'm 20. I just finished my sophomore year of college. So here's what my life has been like so far. I got into a relationship with this guy in January. And we had like started talking at the beginning of December and everything was good. Like, we went on our first date and it was like, oh my God, that was so amazing. Like, ridiculous level of like connection. And like, I texted him after and I was like, hey, you know, if you just want to be friends, it's fine, because we had mutual friends. And like, the last thing I wanted to do was make it awkward or like pressure him. And he was like, no, like, you're amazing, blah, blah, blah. And so, I don't know, in a way, he just made it seem like, you know, everything was mutual, and like, he went on a vacation with his family, and like, he FaceTimed me the whole time, and he was always so into me, and he started telling his parents about me, all of his friends knew about me, and like, we dated for like, officially dated after he asked me to be his girlfriend for like 3 weeks, and then we got into like a barely a big fight, and he broke up with me, and then I confronted him, and turned out he lied about liking me the whole time. And he then proceeded to try to get me in trouble and say that I was harassing him because of it, and like told a bunch of people my life lies and tried to make it seem like he had to go to a mental hospital. And he had a fake panic attack around me. And when I asked how, he said, oh, we all have our talents. You have yours. I have mine. I guess my question is, I'm still really messed up about it. And like, I think maybe hurt more than I should be. And I don't really talk to my friends about it because I think when it first happened, like, it was okay for me to be dramatic and for me to be, like, not okay. But now, I think when I bring him up, people, like, are like, oh, my God, why are you still talking about it? But also, like, a sexual assault thing came up, and I had to, like, figure out that the situation that he put me in was bad. And I just think that, like, I still deal with it. Like, I still have dreams about it. I still cry sometimes about it. And he's essentially tried to ruin my life. And some of my friends aren't friends with him anymore, but I still have friends that are. And it really sucks because he lied and admitted to manipulating everybody. And like, he told everyone, like, yeah, I would have had sex with her, but I would have regretted it right after, even though it was a bad decision. And like, he was like, I liked her personality, it's not her body. And so, any advice that you could have for me? Should I get over it? What should I do? Because I don't know. And I'm tired of crying about it. And I feel like I'm giving him more power than he deserves in this moment. But at the same time, like, it hurts. And I was, like, really, really falling in love with him. Because in my eyes, I dead ass thought that he was, like, maybe my soulmate. So, I don't know. Any advice you could give would help. Thanks.
Oh, sounds like a fucking sociopath.
Yeah, that guy, what a loser.
What a fucking scary loser.
I know. Wow. That, first of all, this happened January.
Yeah.
So it's right now June. That's not a ton of time. So it's totally normal to still feel like traumatized and to still be processing what the fuck just happened to you.
Yeah.
So I don't think your friends that tell you like to get over it, like tell them the fuck off. Yeah. Like, it's, if there's more to the, there's a lot of vague things that you said. So I don't know fully all the details and the context of everything, but it sounds like there's a lot of intense layers to this that I'm sure you probably felt like a lot of embarrassment about when he broke up with you. And then also, it's the one of the most embarrassing things is like, one, getting broken up with by a person, but two, like really liking that person and then finding out that they dropped you and that they're like bonkers in the brain a little bit, and to feel like I chose that person. Yeah. I was attracted to that. I can't even trust myself and my instincts.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not you. It sounds like it's, there's a lot of chaos happening here. And I think it's totally normal and fine that you're still crying and thinking about it. Like, you shouldn't feel, that's just going to, you're going to cut yourself off from actually like grieving the loss of what happened. It's intense.
Yeah. And I exactly, like, I don't think, and I really don't think this is an amount of time that I would, if I was a friend, to be like, get over it. Mm-hmm. I think, like, also, one of the, an important thing to remember just in general, especially if it's like you're talking to your friends about really heavy traumatic things, it can be really also hard for your friends, as hard as that is for you. I mean, we preach therapy here like crazy, but that's one of the biggest things that I think has been a great discussion as of late in general, is talking about how, like, your friends aren't your therapists, mm-hmm. and you can talk to your friends and confide in your friends, but also with traumatic and triggering things, you also don't know everything in your friends' lives. And, like, it can be a lot, like, if your friend is really dealing with something even similarly or not similar at all, and they have a lot on their plate and they're not opening up about it, it can be a lot to require that from your friends. I think in general, though, like, you should be able to have conversation with your friends about it. And if there are friends who are more able to talk to you about it and, like, not write you off as being like ridiculous with it, I would lean on them, because any judgmental stuff. Also, first and foremost, any friends who are still friends with him are not your friends.
Yeah.
I am not here for, if I, anyone who has treated me like shit or has been, like, a fucking toxic, terrible person to me, if any of my friends are still friends with them, like, no, like, then especially, you're not my friend.
Yeah. And someone that's admitted to manipulating your friends, like, that's a poof.
Like, you're just cool with it. Like, you're like, oh no, I mean, it wasn't me. And, like, they said they owned up to it. It's like,
a lot of other people in the world to be friends with.
So many other people. So I would say, first and foremost, like, I think you definitely need, you need someone to talk to who is going to, like, listen and be compassionate and, like, help you unpack everything, because, yeah, it hasn't been that long. And you're, when you date someone who, like, he sounds like a sociopath, and, like, mm-hmm. that the whole thing with sociopaths is the facade, is, like, when they're, you fall for the image of them and who they want you to, who they are portraying themselves to be. And then when you start to see, like, behind all of that, and you start to see, catch glimpses of that, it becomes, this is, like, one of the things we've unpacked in my therapy session a lot. It becomes a whole thing, like you said, trusting yourself. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes this whole internal thing of being like, I don't know when my brain is telling me the truth and when it's telling me, when it's lying to me. Because when you're with somebody and you've spent time with someone who's, like, so incredibly manipulative to your own reality, you have a really hard time grasping your own reality.
Right.
Because you've listened to what someone else told you was your reality for a really long time. Mm-hmm. And even though this relationship wasn't necessarily super long, it made you question yourself. And I think that's going to seep into every aspect of your life, not just your romantic life, is because, like, it does make you, like, second guess everything that you're saying or you're thinking or that you're doing or that you're interpreting, and being like, was this actually, what is this this? Or then it's also, it can make you, like, I'm definitely, like, I'm such a mistrusting person because of that stuff, where, like,
you've been burned.
Yeah. And, like, I then would, like, if someone was, like, just, like, nice to me, I'm like, I don't believe it, like, there has, like, I, and then I would self-sabotage in new relationships because, like, I was just being nice. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry, I did not know what that was like, I thought there was an ulterior motive. And so it can be really, really hard. And I think, like, the most important thing to do is to talk to a professional about that. Again, we plugged in the last one, but in all of them we always have, like, the affordable therapy, like, listed in our show notes. But I think, like, also first and foremost, like, give yourself like some time to breathe and some space from this, because, like, this is, it wasn't just, like, a breakup, it was, like, mm-hmm. emotionally and mind fucking you.
Yeah.
Like, and that's something that's gonna take a little bit longer to get over, especially when it's someone who was, like, so charming. And that is a thing with sociopaths. Like, they're mm-hmm. so charming, and, like, it was, like, felt tailor made to you.
Oh, yeah.
It makes you feel like a fucking idiot.
Yeah. And then it's really easy to play your own mind games on yourself and romanticize the person that you were like, I thought he was going to be my soulmate.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can think that because that's what they sold you on when you first started. But then you really have to look at the reality of what that mm-hmm. person did to you as they unfolded all their layers of, like, sociopathy. Also, I always think that, and I have to remind myself in the time that, like, getting over a breakup, especially something that is traumatic like that, it's like mourning a death. And there's five stages of grief that, if you look it up, it's so maps over, like, getting over a breakup. Like, you're in denial, then you're angry about it and you rationalize, and then something, and then you accept, or you bargain and then you accept. And so it's, of course, you're now still having these moments because it sounds like you're angry about it. You were probably in denial for a long time, mm-hmm. and now it's finally hitting you, and you're mad and you're sad, and you don't know why you can't get over it quick enough, or pretend that, or just cut it off, because it sounds like you're not a sociopath. You can't just compartmentalize your feelings like he probably can. So it does affect you deeper, and it affects your relationships with your friends. So mm-hmm. yeah, go do your work for yourself. Realize that you've seen this guy's true colors and that ultimately people like that, like it'll come to light for people. Like
yeah.
You don't have to do any campaigning for your friends to tell them that he's a bad guy. If they can't see it, they'll eventually find out in some other way. And hopefully you've moved way on by that point. But good luck. It's okay. Your feelings are valid.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, it's going to take, everyone's got different timelines on how they get over relationships too. So don't feel stressed out that you're not completely over it overnight.
Yeah. And I don't even necessarily think it's about him. I think it's also about like what he kind of person that he was. I don't think it matters the duration it's when like someone's used
car salesman
crazy.
That sold you on this image that turns out wasn't what it was, and then right when you were about to buy the car, they're like, never mind, the car's not available anymore. Yeah. Bye, get off my property.
Exactly.
And you're like, what? That's good.
Yeah, good, that's exactly how it is. Oh, fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy.
Should we go? Is it time for Don't Blame Them? Okay. This is Don't Blame Them. This is when listeners call in with their own advice from previous episodes. So if like someone had dated a sociopath, they would then call in and be like, here's my two cents.
Oh, cool.
So what is this one from?
This is from the episode with Jocelyn Davis, season 3, the 20th episode from that season. And the original caller had called because her boyfriend's friend was being like a bad influence on him.
Oh, okay.
And so, do you remember?
I do.
Okay. So this is someone calling with similar experience.
Cool.
Hi, Megan and guests. I am calling in on the most recent podcast with Jocelyn. I'm calling about the caller who said that her boyfriend has a friend who's kind of bad influence. I am speaking from experience on this. My boyfriend and I have been together for 6 years this May, and his best friend since they were like in middle school was not the best influence on my boyfriend, and it came to the point of where I would get really nervous every time that him and his friend would go and hang out and go out drinking or just even like hanging at home. Something always just kind of ended up getting a little too crazy when he was with him. And my advice and what something that I've learned is that when I stopped making a big deal about it and when I stopped trying to control him, he realized on his own how stupid it really was. And it ended up also not being a fight between the two of us anymore because, again, he was realizing just kind of how foolish it was. So when I stopped making a big deal about it and when I stopped bringing it up and when I stopped trying to have a say in what he did and who he spent his time with, he actually stopped making those decisions because, like I said, he just kind of realized that it was kind of pointless. So I don't know if this is of any help, but now it is definitely not an issue between us anymore. So anyway, love your podcast. Thanks so much. Hope this helps.
Oh, that's really sweet.
Yeah.
And that's also a tremendous and beautiful amount of trust that you put in the person that you chose to like be in a relationship with to have like the wherewithal to recognize it on their own instead of you badgering them about it and getting mad that they can't see from like an eagle's eye view, like what the situation is. So that's really cool. Good for you guys.
Yeah, that's so mature. And like, just like such the smarter way to do it that I never would have thought of.
Yeah, I would never trust someone to recognize. I'd be like, you don't see what I see. And that's a me problem.
Fucking idiot. You're blind. But no, that's like, that's genius. And like the idea that, yeah, I mean, I always say, which apparently I should preach more because I would never thought to do this, like expect more of the people that you surround yourself with. Like if you really like them and you really care about somebody, like you should hope that they're good people and expect that they're smart. But I think that's like, yeah, that's incredibly impressive. And it's also like, it's the same thing when you let someone like come to the conclusion on their own, then you're like, oh wow, I never thought of that. And you're like, I'm not the evil bitch. Like this is amazing.
I'm not the controlling girlfriend that's trying to, because there's also, I imagine that if you consistently bring up something that bothers you and they can't see it, then they kind of, you know, that you want what you can't have.
Yeah.
Like they want to hang out with that person more just to spite you so that they have their independence in some regard. So letting them feel their independence and then come to their own conclusions is pretty mature and rad. Good job.
Yeah, I'm very impressed by that. I wonder what happened with the original caller. Let us know. Did you do that? If you did, I will be so impressed. These are things that I don't think any of us had to do that.
No.
None of us said that. Well, guys, that's it for this episode. Oh. Grace, plug your shit.
Oh, yeah. I got a couple podcasts going on.
You have multiple podcasts. Yeah, that's impressive.
Not Too Deep, that Melissa works on. That comes out every Monday. And then This Might Get Weird with my friend Mamrie Hart.
Woo, woo.
Comes out every Wednesday. And then just I'm at Grace Helbig across all the social medias.
Yes. And I'm watching you cook food once a month.
Thank you. Somehow I got a brand deal that is consistent. And it is bizarre that they support me like that.
I'm very into it, though. If you guys want to call to be in an upcoming episode, you can leave us a voicemail at 310-694-0976. And international listeners can email us an audio file at meganpodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram at Don't Blame Meme Pod. And check out our Patreon for some bomb-ass exclusive content. Chat rooms, talk to us, talk to each other, make some new friends.
Real fun.
Stalk some people, like more like we can like talk about, you know what I mean? Like you're like, is my boyfriend cheating on me? And then we can all like deep dive.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's a great way to use like your Discord chat. Yeah,
honestly,
like, have people present that, things that and was, then be like, I need a secret agent.
Immediately, we were like, this is what we need.
You should just call it secret agents.
Yeah.
Ooh. Ooh. It's like, hey guys, I need a secret agent.
Well, we'll see you guys next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Don't Blame Me is a production by me. Executive produced by Melissa DeMonts. Camera operator Amanda Lechner. Production assistance by Julie Carley. And music by Ryan Hunter and Giacomo Picasso. Part of the HerPod Network.